This is the short version. I always can't give my testimony without getting emotional and choked up because it means so much to me and what God's done in my life. I grew up in a loving, caring home. We went to church every Sunday, never missed a Sunday. And graduated from Madison High School in 1976. Just celebrated our 35th class reunion last night. With great to see many classmates. Went off to Alexandria Votech for business management and sales. I moved into an apartment and had a roommate for 1 week. It was just me and him. Hardly ever saw him during the week, a couple times. But obviously he must not like my lifestyle because he left. And he was packing his bags, and I was sitting on the couch in our apartment in Alexandria. I was 19 years old. And he had his bags at the door, and he was about ready to leave. And I remember this like it happened yesterday. He put his hand on the door to leave, and I said goodbye. I don't remember what his name is. I remember what he looks like. And he stopped, and he turned and looked at me. He said, "Paul, can I share something with you?" I said, "I don't care." So he walked over the couch and sat down next to me. And he got a little New Testament pocketbook. And when I saw that, I got angry because I knew what was coming. And what I know now is this is what he shared with me. This is the Romans Road. And he said, "Paul, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." And he put your name there. He put mine in there. He said, "Paul, for Paul has sinned and you fall short of the glory of God." In Romans 6:23, it says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Romans 5:8, "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." And he says, you know, Paul, while you're still a sinner, Christ loved you. God loves you, and he died for you. Romans 10, verses 9 and 10. "That if you confess with your mouth, Paul, that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart," and he kept saying my name, Paul, "and believe in your heart that God raised him from dead, Paul, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved." And he prayed a little short prayer with me, and my exact words were to him, "That's not for me." And he got up and left. I still remember him looking at me and said, "I'll pray for you." And I never saw him again, ever. For the next 9 years, I partied like there was no tomorrow. But I always remembered that 10 minutes of my life. Early spring of 1985, my life then was on a Sunday morning, a typical Sunday morning. Roxy would get the three young boys ready for church and go off to church, and I'd sit in my favorite recliner with my favorite alcoholic beverage and watch my favorite show, professional wrestling. That was my Sunday morning at 10:30, 10 o'clock, to watch All-Star Wrestling. In my house alone, in between commercials, I'd switch the channels. And I always came across this one evangelist, and he was always in your face, looking right at the camera, saying, "You sinner." And he'd always, one moment, I'll never forget, he always pointed at the camera, and he said a sin that I was involved in, and it was a bad one. And it was like, every Sunday after that, it would be less of wrestling and more of this evangelist. Sunday after Sunday. I didn't realize what I was doing probably until a couple months into it. I said, "Man, I'm watching more of this guy here than professional wrestling. What's going on?" And my life at that time consisted of being on many softball teams, being on many bowling teams, Not that there's something wrong with softball and bowling, it's just how you go about it or what your attitude is about it or how you conduct yourself. So don't get me wrong there. And sad to say, my friends on my softball teams and bowling teams were more important to me than my family. And that's where I spent my time. One early spring, we were wrapping up the bowling season, and after bowling, of course, you go down to the local bar. And we closed the bar that night on a weekday, and I have to go to work at 5:36 in the morning. And I remember walking home. It was only 3 or 4 blocks to my house, and I was on Main Street, Madison. There wasn't a car on Main Street, and it started to snow, beautiful white snow. And I looked down to the courthouse all the way down Main Street. I was the only one on Main Street. No cars. And for the first time in my life, I talked to God from my heart. I said, God, what this evangelist says on TV, if that's true, I want what he has. I want what he says about how you love me. I don't want to live like this anymore. I went home, and about 2 weeks later or 3 weeks later, I can't remember exact time, I went to church with Roxy, and then we went to our church. In the lobby was a big sign-up sheet. It was a Good Friday. They were going to do a 24-hour prayer marathon. You had to sign your name in a 15-minute block. And for whatever reason, this wasn't me at the time, I went over and I signed up for 3 o'clock on that Good Friday. And I kept that date. And I walked into the church by myself. And I went up to that altar, and I laid on that altar, and I cried like a baby. And I said, forgive me. I realized how what a sinner I was, and I wanted Jesus to come into my life. And I got up and I walked out them doors, and I've never been the same since. And I just thank God for what he's done in my life since 1985. He has blessed me and my family so much. And the last 2 years, a year and a half, God has blessed me so much. Don't have the time to tell you how much. But he's blessed my life. I've been doing a big study on being obedient, on obedience, being obedient to God. And that study started out as, okay, if I'm obedient to God, he's going to really bless me, which he has, but that was the wrong attitude. I'm obedient to God because I love him. Do a study on obedience once. Change your life. Thank you. I love my church family. You know, I really lost all my friends that I had before 1985. And God replaced them with all you. Thank you.
Okay, I am not a speaker, I am a singer. So mine's going to be really short. I grew up in Madison. I'm Josine Koontz, used to be Nelson. And in high school, my poor mother, she has a few gray hairs because of me. We used to party all the time. That's what we did. We went to dances and we partied. And everybody probably thought we were on drugs, but we weren't because we just acted crazy, so they thought they must be on drugs, but we weren't. We really didn't drink that much either. We just had a problem coming home and doing our curfew. So after that, when I was out of high school, we did go to church every Sunday, though. I knew about God, I knew about Jesus, and I knew about the Holy Spirit, but I didn't really know. So I moved to Wilmer after that, and of course, every weekend you go to work, every weekend was party. And then, in my early 40s, I bought the Left Behind movie. And I watched that, and it scared me to death. What is this rapture thing they're talking about on here? I had never heard about that, ever preached to me before. So after that, I started reading my Bible. And then I just changed. I asked God in my heart, I asked Jesus in my heart as my Savior, and I've never been the same since. He is the A number one in my life, and I love him to pieces. And then I moved back to Madison not too long after that, and I started coming here. And you guys are so awesome. I miss all you guys so much, you know? But God is so good. He's given me a wonderful husband. Amen. And I love Florida winters. Don't like the summer so much, but I feel like home right now. But God is good. He is very good. And if you're not 100% sure of where you're going, you can be. It's a free gift. All you have to do is ask. Thanks.
I want to stand up here like Paul. So this is how it feels like, Pastor Ed, huh? All right. My name is Tom Bacon. I was born and raised here in Madison. I also have a very, very loving family that I was raised in. We went to church every Sunday. Always sat in the back pew, and I remember getting a present if I was quiet in church every Sunday. So that was the benefit of going to church for me. I really didn't realize what God did for me at all. I didn't know, as Jocene said, I didn't know the gift that I would receive. I know that now. After graduating high school, I went to Alexandria for sales and marketing. It didn't really work out. I got home for my final report card to get it from my parents, and I think it was with 4 F's and a couple D's on there, and I hid that from them, and they found out a couple years later, which was no big deal. So after that, I hung around Madison, and I just partied a lot, played softball religiously for 3 years every weekend and 3 days a week, and it was just a party, and it was fun, and every weekend, and just consisted of drinking and partying. So then I met a lady, and we got married, and she told me that I worked at the bottling company here in Madison, and she told me that I wasn't making enough money working there, so I went to school to be a power lineman to work on high voltage lines. That's the only thing she ever did good for me, was get me to go to school for this. So I moved to Hutchinson after that, and she left me after that, got pregnant, not by me, by another guy. And so that created a down spiral for 5 years of just bad, bad, bad life. I started going through a program, and they told me that in this program, the life I was living and leading, there's only 3 things that I would be after that, or my life would end up in, is either jails, institutions, or death. So I found a very loving and wonderful woman, Lisa, my wife, and I think God found us. She found out on my Christmas morning my terrible secret that I was hiding from her for many years. It was the worst day of my life. I just remember her crying for a day straight. And I didn't care, because all I wanted was more of what I was hiding from her. So being the wonderful person that she is, she didn't leave me. We started going to this church in Hutchinson, the Assembly of God, because they had free counseling. Pastor Nancy Block was our counselor. And after a few times, I told Lisa this wasn't for me. I'm not coming to this council anymore. All they do is preach about God. And to go back, I was really angry at God and wanted nothing to do with him, because he gave my mom, the most important person in my life, at the time, and still is, I mean, but God is number one. But she has a very rare disease called Wegener's disease. So she has to take this medicine, and it either gives her cancer. If she don't take it, she gets the disease back. So I was angry at God for basically giving my mother this terrible disease. So I wanted nothing to do with him for a while. So then me and Lisa started going to this. I told her I wasn't going, and she ended up, every Sunday, started telling me, "Do you want to go to church?" I said, "No." "Do you want to go to church?" "No." I said, "I'm not going to church. They're a bunch of crazy people. They wave their hands and all this stuff. They're a cult, you know?" So finally, friends of mine in the program were telling me, "You got to have Christ in your life. You got to have God in your life." So I said, "Okay." So I'll go to church. And I'm like, "Man, this is an hour and 45 minutes long. I can't deal with this." And I saw people bringing their Bibles to church. And when I was raised, whoever brought their Bible to church, that was weird to me. So I was there, and I told Lisa after that day of church, I said, "The sermon was unbelievable. And the pastor was just awesome. But the music, I'm not going to deal with, because that was a half an hour long." And the music ended up being the most important thing to me. There was a song where I'd end up crying every single time, and these ladies that sat in front of me would hand me tissues every time the song came on. So later that year, me and Lisa decided to give our lives to Christ, and they had this huge stage, kind of like this, in Hutch, and you'd walk up, and they took off this lid, and there was, you'd walk down in to a tub, and when Pastor Randy laid me down and he brought me up, it feels like all my sins were washed away. So now I have two families, my church family and my other family, my family, which I love. But I know that they will be there for me no matter what, and I love this family, and I love my family, and I love God. So, like Joan Seen said, it's a free gift. You accept God in your life, and you'll go to heaven. So, and like the other day, a friend of mine died. And when that happens, I sit there and say, and I pray that they accepted Jesus Christ, because I want them to go to heaven. So, I was almost going to say, with that, I'll pass. That's what I said the other day. But thank you very much.
Hi, I'm Jeff Rankins. I grew up in Madison, too, mostly. I lived north of Athens a couple of years, and I went to apply for a passport with Josh, and I don't know what's going on, but we got a little question about when I was really born and when it got recorded, and a lot of questions from Mom when we went to the lake last week. Still waiting for the answers. So anyway, my life in 5 minutes, my spiritual life in 5 minutes. You know, as the older you get, 5 minutes gets kind of short to do that, so we'll just give you a few highlights and you have to get the full version somewhere else. Sometime else, not somewhere else. Grew up in a church, a good Christian family. Yeah, I'd say we went to church, and that was an important part of life. Went through the confirmation thing, and you know, I know some Lutherans went through confirmation. It was really a waste. I would say it was beneficial. I mean, it did have some significance, and I think that was something important to do. But a lot of my spiritual journey really began when I went to college. I went to St. Cloud State. A lot of you went to secular schools, and I thought, you know, I took a tour of the college before I went. I thought they were pretty much higher institutions of learning, and people went there to learn. And I lived in a freshman dorm, and there was some learning that took place, but it was, man, I tell you, I found out there was a lot of guys there who were not. There was a lot of distractions. But I was fortunate that God spared me from a lot of that, because I think that first year at college really for me was kind of the make it or break it. Are you gonna, you know, you're gonna go with the crowd? You grew up in church. You heard these things. You believe that or don't you? And there's that pull of the world, you know, because the peer pressure is just to do what everybody else is doing. And Drinking age was 18 back then, so, you know, the bar scene was there. A lot of people turn 18, usually go, you know, you go down the dorm and some guys passed out saying, oh, it must have been an 18th birthday tonight. But got involved with a fellowship group there, InterVarsity Christian Fellowship. I was a little hesitant to go the first couple times because it's not like where everybody was going on campus. But fortunately, you know, there's different people come in. There was a guy named Todd Bundy. Now, Todd was, I don't know, I suppose the best way to probably maybe describe the simplest way, we only got a couple minutes here, is he was kind of weird. But he was really outgoing. And he talked to me when I came there, and he got to know me, and he knew me. And the thing is, he worked at the cafeteria, too, for breakfast. So, like, if they had a fellowship meeting Tuesday night, and I wasn't there, and Wednesday night when he came through breakfast, and I was, Jeff, old buddy, old chap, where were you last night? It's not like, you know, it's not like the person next to you could hear you. He was like everybody in the whole building could hear Todd. And, you know, as weird as he was, it was good because I think part of the reason I went a couple times, I knew Todd was going to hit me the next day if I didn't go. So I got involved there, and that was just really a blessing because, say, even when I taught Sunday school here with the senior high, it's kind of like if you're going to go to college, you're going to go off to school, and if you're not going to have some fellowship, your faith is not going to survive. Just really thankful for that because I got involved. Say, there was a lot of good training, a lot of good fellowship, made a lot of good friends there. Because, if you're on a secular college campus and you're trying to live a Christian life, you are going to be a peculiar people. Some of you experienced that. And even some of the friends from home that I went to school with were, you find out who's middle of the road and who's committed, and it really makes it difficult. But I think in some ways that was good training for me for life in terms of, you know, I went from there to Minneapolis to business world or just out in the world in general. I mean, not everybody is hanging out at the worship scene. I mean, that's just not where the secular world is at. So, just really blessed by that. Well, one of the verses during those years that really meant a lot to me, Colossians 3, verses 15 to 17, we're talking about the new life in Christ. It says, let the peace of Christ... Let's try this again. Let the peace that Christ gives control your thinking because you are all called together in one body to have peace. Always be thankful that the teaching of Christ live in you richly. Use all wisdom to teach and instruct each other by singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Everything you do or say should be done to obey Jesus your Lord, and in all you do, give thanks to God the Father through Christ. So that's kind of the journey I started on that, to work towards that, and it's an ongoing journey. There's stumbles, there's falls, and once in a while you go backwards, but that's the goal. And sometimes, you know, it's easy to beat myself up and think, oh, I failed today, but that's, you know, Christ died, but he knew we were going to fail, and he has grace, and he continues to give us his grace and his forgiveness, because, sometimes, you know, I go down the halls in the dorm, you see some things going on, it's like, oh, man, you know, the one thing would be to point and say, those guys are really stupid, or the other thing is just say, but, you know, they're for the grace of God, go I, because the temptations and the opportunities were there to go that way, but by his grace, I was saved from some of that, anyway. I was not saved totally from ever make a mistake, but that's my story.
I think Jeff was in place of John. I think that's all we got.
No, Jeff was in place of Sherry Tucker.
There's somebody else?
John Whitty.
Okay, yes, you're on, John.
Okay, well, wasn't expecting that, but here I am. I guess a lot, very similar to what Jeff was talking about. Grew up in a Christian family, went to church every Sunday, did the confirmation thing. I don't know if I got as much out of it as Jeff did, but I went there, I knew all the things to say. I knew all the things to do, and I just went through the motions, and it becomes kind of thoughtless, you know, and didn't really think much of it. Went to college, still joined a church up there, attended regularly. A couple years after that, met Teresa, and it was strange because I kind of, you know, I was the guy that would go out with the friends at college, evenings or Saturday nights, and we would do the party scene, and we'd go out and stay out late, and before I get home, I'd figure out who's going to come with me to church in the morning. You know, that was just totally natural. I didn't think of it, you know, and I thought I was doing it the right way, and never gave it a second thought. Well, after we got married up in Morris, and we were going to church regularly. There were just things that just weren't seeming right, and questions that came up. And about the same time, it seemed like every radio I'd turn on would be switched to KCGN. I don't know where that came from. I blamed my dad for many years, and after sharing this with him, he says that he never changed all my radios to KCGN. But anyway, someone was doing it, I found myself too. I'd be flipping through the stations and be more and more interested on some of these programs, this Chuck Swindoll guy and Folks in the Family, and we had a little baby at the time, I just started questioning, getting hungrier and hungrier, and not even really understanding what to do with that. I'd still, go to church and I'd still go out with my friends the night before church, but I was interested more, there was just something missing. One day I was on the way home from work, there was a message. All my preset, every button on my radio by that time was set to KCGN, so I wouldn't miss it. Listening to Chuck Swindoll, he said what I wanted to hear, or needed to hear that day, pulled over right on Twin Bridges and said the prayer. Expecting from then on, life was going to be easy and no problems. The next day I was having problems. but as it goes on, it wasn't, I know some people, and God speaks to everybody different ways. It wasn't like a lightning bolt and I figured it out and I changed my life and all that. It was just little things. All of a sudden I was convicted that, you shouldn't be doing this stuff anymore. We're different. But I still wanted to. I didn't want to lose my friends, my buddies. And as time went on, it's a process. And I realize now that process is never going to stop. He's going to be molding me until I meet him. And I just praise him for his grace and his patience with me. And I've been blessed with... Teresa and I are married 21 years now, and we have 4 great kids, and they're doing so much better than I did when I was their age, and that blesses me. And again, it's just a continuous, I learn every day, and it's a great journey to be on.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, John. Thanks, guys. As you can tell, the Lord is infinite enough to be able to meet us wherever we are, whatever circumstance, whatever place in life that we're at, whether we are hiding a secret or whether we are trying to pursue the Lord and haven't quite spotted in Scripture or soaked in that we need to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Maybe you are a good person and religious all your life, but you haven't made a commitment to Christ, or maybe you came out of the pits of hell, like a lot of people that we have coming to church here have. It's the power of God can put you on your feet and clean you up, and as John said, begin to mold you and shape you, and that's a process that continues. Most of these people call me pastor, and I can tell you that none of them are perfect, and they can tell you I'm not perfect either. But it is that grace that God has that helps us in that sometimes staggering journey towards Him. Sometimes hard times hit us and we get confused, and sometimes our faith just kind of runs out of gas and we need the body or someone to pray for us or to help us, and that's all things that are human, but the Lord has made provision for every one of us. And so if you have not yet made a commitment to Christ, you can do that. It's a very easy thing to do. It is a heart thing. It's not just a head thing. It's not something that you do and walk away and say, okay. It's like a marriage. We had a wedding here not too long ago. We're going to have another wedding coming up here in another month. And it's kind of like that. You come to realize that Christ has been waiting for you. He's already made all the preparations, but you aren't at the altar. You haven't made it yet. So you come to the altar and you say, I do. Well, then you don't just walk out and go do your own thing. You kind of mesh your life with his and his life with yours, and your life changes, and it's a good thing. Sometimes it's easy. Sometimes it's hard, but it's the right thing to do, and he is there to help us. So if you haven't done that, I encourage you to do that. We don't know how long. I mean, every time you turn around, there's another reason why the world should end, right? And that's not even the Bible reasons. That's just what we see. More earthquakes, climate stuff, volcanoes, sunspots, asteroids, who knows? But, and then just walking down the street could be your last breath. You need to be ready to meet the Lord. So if you'd like to do that, any one of these that gave their testimony today could help you, pray with you to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. It's easy enough for even a child to do it. The Bible says we have to become as little children. What does that mean? That means we have all kinds of preconceived ideas and all kinds of preset stuff in our head, and we need to put that all aside and just act in simple faith. Well, we're going to close. I'll pray, and then we have a closing hymn and some announcements, I believe, right? Mm-hmm. Good day. Yeah, good idea. Praise team is coming. Thank you for coming today. Lord, thank you so much that you have made this available to every single person who wants to turn around and look and see that you're standing there with this free gift. Lord, it is above and beyond what you had to do for us, because as Paul read, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And without that love, mercy, and grace, we wouldn't have a chance. But Lord, you who created the universe, who are so big, and we're so small, but yet you've chosen to love us. I thank you for that. Pray, Lord, that you would bless each one that has heard these words of testimony, that it's like with Paul when he heard his friend speak, that these words would keep coming back, and they would be a seed that would bear fruit, a fruit of the kingdom. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.